Listen, I do not take this honor lightly. I get to introduce you to someone who's I've known for, I don't know, half of ever, I guess, a lot of years. But listen, I want you to know this lady. I know her heart. I know her heart for the local church. I know her heart for God. And you are about to get blessed. I want you to help me welcome my friend, Reverend, yes, Reverend Crystal Mason.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to everybody. Because guess what? Everybody had a mama. So happy Mother's Day to everybody, right? I'm so happy to be here, and it's just a real honor and a blessing to get to come and serve alongside of Pastor Aaron and Amy and their family. We've, like she said, we've known them for decades, and they're just choice servants, and I think you probably are already realizing that, having them here in your local church. It is good to see Trevor out in the crowd this morning. Trevor worked for us on our camp staff. He's a wonderful young man, and I know the Lord is about to bless you guys with a little person, and that's going to be so very exciting and exhausting all at the same time. Can I get an amen from all the moms in the house? Yes, many sleepless nights. So this morning I want to talk to you. I think, it's up on the screen. I want to talk to you this morning. Can you hear me good? Because you know I'm a girl, and so we get up high in that, you know, register, and you can't maybe not hear us. But I want to make sure everybody hears me this morning. Because it is a Mother's Day message, but it's for everybody. Because it's Mother's Day, but this is not just a message that's about moms or for moms. This is for everybody. And I want to talk to you about the little things. For several years, I've had an attachment to the little phrase, it's the little things. Because in life, a lot of times, it is the little things that make a really big difference. I mean, they're so important. You know, you hear that statement, that quote, the devil's in the details. I don't like that. I think the Lord is in the details. I think he cares about every single teeny tiny thing, and that's important to me. You know, the little things, that whole phrase kind of got in my heart about the time that my dad was sick. It's hard to say, but more than a decade ago, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and we went through a long thing with him, and ended up passing away. But little things became really big to me during that season, you know, because it's those little moments that you have with someone that you think back on, that you remember. I can remember when my dad would come and visit us. He would sneak out real early in the morning. Now, there's a little thing I'm going to tell you about right now, and I think everybody appreciates this little thing. It's a little thing called a donut, you know, and a little thing called a Krispy Kreme donut. Woo, glory, hallelujah. My daddy would sneak out real early in the morning before anybody was even rolling over, and that was a thing he did. He'd sneak out. He'd go get those donuts. When we'd get up, they would be there. So when I lost him, I thought about little things like that, you know, little things that he used to do. You know, there's sometimes where your friend just might show up with something that is your favorite. Like, we've got a big event coming up this weekend. There have been multiple times that your sweet pastor's wife would just show up with a treat for me. You know what? It wasn't so much about the fact that the donuts or that treat met a physical need or a physical desire in my body. But what they did was it told me that somebody loved me. And they were thinking about me and that they cared for me. So those are the kind of things that we think about when we think about little things in life. And it's Mother's Day, and I think moms are big on the little things. We have to remember a lot of little things as moms. Like right now, raise your hand and wave at me, women, if you have a purse in here with you today. I would imagine that in these purses, we probably could dump them out here in the floor and come up with the things that we'd probably make a terrible mess. But we might come up with something to maybe do a school project from inside of what's in those purses. We could probably diffuse a bomb with something we find in those purses. We may find our husband's keys that we have had misplaced for over 6 months. That happened to me yesterday. I found those keys. We could possibly build a rocket ship. Who knows? We could definitely start a fire with what we find in there. And we could probably do some minor house repairs with what's in there. You know, all the moms in here, if you're a baker, and dads too, you know that every good chocolate chip recipe is just a little better with a little bit of salt in it. If there's not a little bit of salt in that chocolate chip, it's just a tiny bit. It's a little thing, but it makes a big difference. We know there's a huge difference between a teaspoon and a tablespoon. Not visibly, but you do a teaspoon or a tablespoon difference in a recipe, man, it could be the end of things for you. An even bigger difference is in the high heat setting on your dryer versus the medium heat setting. You throw things in the high heat setting on a dryer and it's going to come out a lot smaller, which is why I don't understand that I don't shrink during the summer. But for some reason, I do not shrink during the summer. I don't know, maybe you do. We can sew buttons back on if we're moms. We can fix almost anything with a hot glue gun. You know what? I mean, you might not be able to really use it after that, but it'll sure look like it's supposed to. We can get splinters out of toes, cut crumbs off of sandwiches. We can even find the smallest of things, like a contact lens for our kids. And we know that one red sock can change the course of history for an entire load of white clothing, and it can make a really big difference. It can be a tragedy. But you know what? The Bible is filled with stories about little things. It was just a little stone, a little tiny stone that took great big Goliath down. That's a small thing. It's filled. In Matthew 17:20, and I think we have some of these up on the screen to show you, the Bible says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I don't know if you've ever baked or anything. My dad was a pastor. He preached my whole life. I heard the whole mustard seed thing, and I think about watermelon seeds and orange seeds and lemon seeds. But when I finally saw what a mustard seed looked like, I was in shock at how tiny it was. And that's all the faith that it takes to see a mountain move. The word says that. In Mark 12:41-44, we can't forget about this great story, the widow's mite. It says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. We just were talking about giving right here. Many rich people put in large amounts, and then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything that she had to live on. If you've ever seen a widow's mite, it's not much bigger than a watermelon seed. It's a very tiny, tiny gift, but it's something that was so great, and it meant so much, and it had so much value. She gave all that she had. It was small in the eyes of everyone else, but it was all she had. God is not looking for you to give anything that doesn't cost you something. He wants you to give something that costs you something. He's looking for your sacrifice, and though hers was so very small, it was all that she had. My mother is a widow. I've seen God do great and mighty things in her life with just a very tiny bit because she's been faithful. She has sacrificed. In fact, it was something as simple as a garden hose one time. She's on a limited income, and my mother had been out, and I don't know, have you seen those hoses that just kind of, I mean, everybody knows the big, bulky garden hose that you got to just wind around and around, and they're just awful to deal with. Then they've got this one hose that when it's done, it literally shrinks into a pile about this big. That's pretty incredible. Well, that's all my mama needed because she just lives in a small little garden home house, and she had a regular hose, but it would have been a little bit of a splurge to buy that fancy thing that was easier to deal with. So she looked at it and she passed on by. It was Christmas time. We had a choir celebration. You know how you have parties for everything that you know about at Christmas time. We had a choir party, and our pastor's wife had gone and she'd bought all this table full of gifts, and they were going to do just door prizes. You just pulled a number, and when you pulled the number, you got to go up and get something. And so she had all these things up there, and the night was going on, and all these people were getting these lavish things like spa treatments and Bath and Body Works the women had picked up. There were gift cards to different restaurants and all these fancy things. And my mom's number got drawn, and she went up to the table, and she's looking around, and she looks, and lo and behold, there was one of those fancy garden hoses. Nobody could believe that my mom picked up that garden hose. But you know what? That wasn't just a garden hose to her. That was the Lord saying, I have this for you. This is small, but it's something tangible. But I want this for you. And my pastor's wife looked at my mom. She said, are you sure you want that garden hose? She said, oh, you don't understand. She said, I wanted this garden hose. I was shopping the other day and I saw it. But I thought, you know what? That's just a little too much to be spending on something like that. My pastor's wife said, well, you know what? I had this garden hose in my basket when I was shopping and buying things. And I thought to myself, nobody's going to want that. I just think that's a neat gift. And she said, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, leave that in the basket. So you know what? The Lord cares about every single little detail of your life. Every single little detail of your life. Down to a garden hose. I mean, that's not life-changing, but it's special and it's important. And if it's important to you, it's important to God. You know, those are good things. Those are good little things. But the Lord talks about in Scripture. We can look in 1 Corinthians. It says, your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this is sin and a little yeast that spreads through a whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made with yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb that has been sacrificed for us. Little things can be good and little things can be bad. I recently read a story. How many of you have ever heard of Andy Andrews? Is anybody in here a reader? Andy Andrews. He's one of the best storytellers you could ever read. And I was reading in one of his books, and he talks about this story about these young adult boys that got in a boat, and they lived down in the Gulf Shores area. They wanted to go fishing, Pastor Aaron. See, now I knew I could just, I told you this wasn't just a Mother's Day message, okay? So I don't know if y'all know this, but this man loves to fish, and apparently he's really good at it. But way on down in South Alabama, they were going to go out in the Gulf. And that's a little bit different than just heading out in the lake. And so they were young guys. How many of you got sons? The men you can raise your hand to. Did you know that they know everything sometimes, these young adult boys? DJ, I know you're not like this, but sometimes these young adult boys, they tend to just know everything. I literally, Hannah and I were shopping in a store yesterday, and we heard this little guy, and he was just carrying on, and the woman looked over, and she goes, "Woo, boy, aren't you spirited?" He goes, "Well, I know everything," and I thought, oh, honey, this is going to come back to haunt him in a few years. Well, these young men thought they knew everything they needed to know, too. They knew where they were going to go fishing because they'd been, you get that spot. They knew the spot that they were going to, but it's out in the Gulf waters. And their dad said to them, now there's not a lot of gas in the tank of that boat. And they said, we know where we're going. We're heading out to such and such and whatever. And he goes, okay. He said, but I'm just telling you, I think it'd be a good idea to put some more gas in the boat because it's only got about a half a tank. And so they were like, okay, Dad, yeah, you know, whatever. And so what do you think they did? No gas, no more than what's in the boat. Because this is what they said. We know where we're going. We've been there before. There's enough gas in the tank to get us there and to bring us back. Okay, all right. So they just headed off and did their thing, the young adult guys. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know their names, but I know if you start digging around in newspapers, you can go and you can find out that that day didn't go as planned. Not only was there only about a half a tank of gas in that boat, but something went wrong that day with the compass on the boat. It was off by an 18th of an inch. Now, if you know anything about that kind of stuff, that's a big deal. It's a little. Now, if you get a ruler out and you lay it out here, I'm not an 18th, I'm sorry, a 16th. You can't divide it by 18th. If you got a ruler out here and you looked at something that was divided in fours, like an inch, I mean, a quarter of an inch is small, but a 16th of an inch, that's tiny. If a picture was hanging up in here on the in the room by, and it was off by a 16th of an inch, the majority of you would never even catch it. But if you start heading off somewhere in a boat, and it's a 16th of an inch off, that means like when you start out, you're kind of going this way, but you're just, you don't even realize you're going. They were headed out to that destination. They knew how far out they needed to go. But if you can imagine, as they were going, they were getting further and further away. And the further you get off the coastline, the further it is from being able to see. They knew they would get to a point where they couldn't see the shore anymore. That was all to be expected. But when they got out as far as they were supposed to be, they realized they were so far off track. Makes me think of some friends of mine. their daughter, they serve in the same capacity or used to serve in the same capacity that Steve and I serve in as district youth directors. They've got adult children that were raised in the church, sat in chairs and pews just like those of us sitting here today. They taught and they showed their children the way to go. Those children became of age. This particular woman that I'm talking about is in her 30s. She was raised right. She followed the Lord. When she became a young adult, she went to a school, met with some people, decided to kind of start making some choices that were her choices, not the choices that she had followed when she was a kid. They weren't terrible. She wasn't doing anything immoral, but she just was maybe doing things that she might not have been a part of when she was attending church regularly and at home with her family. Missing church on Sunday to go here and go there, that became something she was okay with. Going out to events that probably weren't the greatest. She might not have been partaking in the things that were happening, but she was there. She was exposing herself to things that were not great. Ever so slightly, she was making choices that were a 16th of an inch off the path than maybe she had grown up. She found herself so lost and so far from the Lord. So far from the Lord, just like these boys, so far from shore. Now, the great news is with Andy Andrews, he's always going to bring that story around and help you realize something. Those boys were found, but it was after a day later. They ran out of gas. They were dehydrated. They were sunburnt. They were needing food. They were needing all the things because they had made a foolish choice. This young woman has needed rescue. Thank God in heaven her parents never gave up. And they've prayed and they've prayed and they've prayed. She did have to deal with some things in life like that these young boys had to deal with, but they stayed faithful and they stayed after her. They loved her. They prayed unconditionally and sought after God, and she has made a turn and come back around. But it wasn't without having to suffer some terrible consequences, not sunburn, not dehydration, but lostness. For years she was lost. This kind of makes me think about a woman, and I forgot to bring my bag with me. You know, every woman's got to preach with a prop, and I've got one right here. This is my daughter, Hannah. I didn't even say hello or greet you guys or tell the people that I brought. But my husband drove me here in my daughter's home for the summer, and I'm so thankful to have them with me. My friend's daughter and their tenacity to keep going after her brings me to the story that I really want to talk to you about today. Now, don't worry. I know I've already said a lot. But I want to draw attention to someone in the Bible. Her name is Rispa. And most of you would probably just skip right over her, or you've heard a Mother's Day sermon. Someone else may have preached about her. She's been brought up in some kind of a message. But if you didn't hear about her in a sermon, she's one of those names that you would just probably read right over in Samuel. And it's 2 Samuel chapter 21, and it's a lot. And so I didn't put it up on the screen. So if you want to turn there into 2 Samuel, we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to just read for you some of the history and give you a little bit of her story. If you're there, we'll go ahead and start. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 21. It said, "There was a famine during David's reign that lasted for 3 years. So David asked the Lord about it. And the Lord said, 'The famine has come because Saul and his family are guilty of murdering the Gibeonites.' So the king summoned the Gibeonites. They were not part of Israel, but were all that was left of the nation of the Amorites. The people of Israel had sworn not to kill them, but Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, had tried to wipe them out. David asked them, 'What can I do for you? How can I make amends so that you will bless the Lord's people again?' 'Well, money can't settle this matter between us and the family of Saul,' the Gibeonites replied. 'Neither can we demand the life of anyone in Israel.' 'What I can do then?' David asked. What can I do then?' David asked. 'Just tell me and I will do it for you.' Then they replied, 'It was Saul who planned to destroy us, to keep us from having any place at all in the territory of Israel. So let 7 of Saul's sons be handed over to us, and we will execute them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord.' 'All right,' the king said, 'I will do it.' See, in that day and time, when something really bad happened, it had to be avenged. I'm glad we don't live in a time where, you know, we're always working like that. We believe in justice and truth and honor and those kind of things. But at this point in time, when a wrong was done, it had to be avenged. So the king spared Jonathan's son Mephibosheth because of his relationship with Jonathan, who was Saul's grandson because of the oath David and Jonathan had sworn before the Lord. But he gave Saul's two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth, a different one, whose mother was Rizpah, daughter of Ai. He also gave them the five sons of Saul's daughter Merab, the wife of Adriel, son of Barzillai, and Mahola. The men of Gibeon executed them on the mountain before the Lord. So all seven of them died together at the beginning of the barley harvest. People were killed. Now they were suffering those consequences, and others were lost. Then Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the mother of two of the men, spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. This is about 6 months. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at their bodies during the day and stopped wild animals from eating them at night. When David learned what Rizpah, Saul's concubine, because that's who she was a low, low woman on the totem pole. She was a concubine. David obtained the bones of Saul and Jonathan, as well as the bones of the seven men the Gibeonites had executed. Then the king ordered that they bury the bones in the tomb of Kish, Saul's father, at the town of Zelah in the land of Benjamin. After that, God ended the famine in the land. And you might be saying to me, that is horribly morbid. Why in the world would you talk about this on Mother's Day? Because guess what? It was a mama and her passion and desire. She did not save the lives of her son. Nothing she did brought them back to life. But the Lord touched the king's heart. The king saw her faithfulness and her passion and her tenacity. And he made things right. And it wasn't them killing those boys. It was that woman coming out and doing what she did that moved the heart of God. It moved the heart of David. And a whole land experienced life again because the famine was ended because of one woman's courage and strength. 6 months she took all that she had. I need to get a bigger piece than that. That ain't much, but it's a little smaller than this one. And I apologize, because if you've got allergies, I'm about to stir them up. This, and I have them too. This is burlap. It's all that she had. They said she came out and she threw those pieces down. She didn't come to them with a sword. She didn't come to them with any of those things. Her boys were already gone. They were already dead. She just had what she had, and she laid it out on the rocks. There were no people out there to be fighting. There was no more war. The war was over. It was just things that had been avenged. It was the wrong that had been done that had been avenged, because Saul was never supposed to take what he took. That's happened in some of our lives. The enemy's come in and taken some things that was never supposed to be taken. He came and he took some of the things that weren't supposed to be taken. There are things that we've lost that we can't get back. But it doesn't have to take us. We don't have to be defined by the things that we've lost. We don't have to be defined by that. And I am fighting this guy, but it's going to be okay. We don't have to be defined by that. She had burlap, sackcloth. Because that's what mourning looks like. Sackcloth. And she had passion to keep those animals from taking what was left of her son. They weren't going to come back to life. There are things in your life that are gone that may never return. But you don't have to live in defeat. I cannot imagine losing my kids. I can't fathom the depth of her pain. But day and night, during that entire season of 6 months, Birds would be coming. Terrible things that wanted to pick away at their body, and she would shoo those things away. She had nothing. When all of that took place, she lost all wealth. She didn't lose hope, but she lost all of her wealth. She was at the bottom of the barrel. You know what? Today, some of us in this room, we need to get the little things that have been left inside of us, the little nuggets that have been deposited deep down inside of us. We need to get on top of those things, and we need to begin to swat away the enemy of the things that are trying to come and take our children, take our marriages, take our businesses. And I am literally just making a big mess. But we've got to get what we've got in our hands. Don't try to go looking for something that you don't already possess. You've got to start with what you possess, whatever's inside of you. Then God will begin to deposit more. But right now, you've got to do everything that you can to swat away the enemy of your life. Is he trying to steal your joy this morning? Is he trying to steal your hope this morning? Because if he is, shoo him away. You have the power to do that. That's all Rispa had the power to do. We can swat him away with the word of God and with our prayers. You might think, I don't have much. If you have the word, you have everything. When you pray, you have everything, because we don't pray to a dead God. We pray to a God that is living, that he has power. And when we pray in his name, we have authority. And I want to encourage you with that today. You know, get that burlap and swat it away. I want to share these scriptures with you. If your children are struggling, remember that in Psalms 127:3, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. In Psalm 103:17, it says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Are you struggling with past sins and failures? Are you trying to live your life, but there is just something that is kind of holding you back? Like you're moving forward, but you're going with such resistance. You need to know that in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So you keep moving forward. You tell the devil to leave you alone. You let him know what the Lord says that you are. Are you sick in body? I know some of you are. You raised your hands this morning. Is the enemy trying to take you out or somebody that you love? Because in Psalms 118, it says this, 118:17. I will live and not die, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. Say that over yourself. Say that over your sick loved ones. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We'll mount up on wings like eagles. We're not going to faint. Claim that. You're saying that, and as you say that, your faith rises. But when you say that, that tells the devil who thought he had Jesus, he thought he had him, it reminds him to go back to where he came from. Is your family under attack? Is your personal life under attack? Is your business under attack? Is your marriage under attack? Because John 10:10 says this, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, I have come that you may have life, and you may have life more abundantly. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Deuteronomy 3:22 says, you shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. When you begin to speak with authority, and you will get the attention of heaven. When you speak with authority, all of heaven is listening. God, your heavenly Father, will fight for you. He will make a way for you, and he will make a way in your life. I want to tell you another story about some people that we know. Pastor Aaron and Amy know them as well. Some of you may have heard this story. This little girl's been in a battle for quite some time, but several years ago, a friend of ours, her child was diagnosed with Steven Johnson syndrome. And if you don't know anything about that, do not Google it, because you're not going to be okay after seeing what you see and reading what you read. And if you have that, we need to use some burlap on the enemy this morning for you too. But basically what happened is this small, beautiful child came down with Stephen Johnson syndrome. It began to attack her body. It attacked her body from the inside out. It was doing a number on the things on the inside of her. Her skin began to actually fall off. It was terrible. It just came out of nowhere. They didn't know what happened. Doctors couldn't really explain what was happening, but she was in a bad situation. They got a, I can't believe I can't say this word after I'm going through and watching everything on COVID. They were able to intubate her just moments before her esophagus and her windpipe and all of those areas really began to suffer damage. If they had not gotten that in when they did, she wouldn't have even been able to breathe, and it would have been an even worse situation. I'm not going to show you pictures of this child because they would absolutely horrify you. It looked like someone who had been burned over their entire body. And she was one of the most beautiful little children that you could see. They life-flighted her to UAB Hospital. They did everything they knew to do. Her mother, Nicole, our friend, had done everything that she knew to do as a mom. She prayed in the UAB Hospital. She found a tiny, like, storage closet. And she got in there, and she just made that her prayer room, her war room. And she began to pray for her child. You might begin to think that her prayers have looked like a widow's mite praise. It was all she had. There was a little doctor that was very, very knowledgeable. She was at UAB, so she had the finest doctors in town. And so Nicole was exhausted, and she came in, and the doctor comes in with her little clipboard, and she just kind of walks in real matter-of-factly. And, she's just tapping on her clipboard, and she just walks in. This is her baby that is laying in the bed, and this doctor literally says out loud, "Well, this one's not going to make it." Like, keep those thoughts to yourself, you know? She said, "Excuse me?" And she turned around and she looked, and Nicole became a modern-day RISPA in that moment. She took every verse that she'd ever learned, every prayer that she had ever prayed, and she began to bombard heaven. She also turned around and said, "Go get my mama." Because her mother is the one who had raised her to do those things. Shout out to every mother in the house that has taught your child to pray, that has brought them and sat them in church even when they didn't want to be here. They've prayed. If they're in heaven, their prayers are still living. Those prayers are eternal. Bottom line is this. She got her mama, and they began to pray, and they began to worship. They began to play praise and worship music in that child's room. And this weekend, if all goes well, she still has some issues with her eyes, but if everything goes well this weekend, that little girl that was given up for dead that said, "This one's not going to make it," she not only is making it, but she's taught her blind self how to play a bass guitar. She's going to be in fine arts this weekend in Jesus' name. Do you know, greater is he that is inside of me than he that is in the world. Tell the devil to go back to hell where he came from and leave you and your babies alone. He has given us authority. And all you may have is a little thing. But as the old song says, little is much when God is in it. And this morning, I just want to encourage you, you know, the little thing called prayer, that makes a huge difference. Those little tiny scriptures, every one of us in the room can write those scriptures down. Every one of us in the room can memorize something and put those things in our arsenal. Every single one of those things. I know last week that you had a message on the altar, and I heard Pastor Aaron reference it this morning. But this morning, if you're finding yourself sitting in this room, maybe you came to honor your mother today. But let me tell you something. Honor the Lord today. If you're getting off by a 16th of an inch, you're not really doing things that you shouldn't be doing, but you're just not doing things that you really should be doing. If being here in this body of believers has kind of not been your thing, make it your thing again. Call out to the Lord. He's here for you. The greatest thing that you could do for your mama on Mother's Day is to get your heart right with Jesus. There is no finer, no prouder moment. When I see my kids lift their hands in worship, yes, I'm having a Holy Ghost moment, but I'm having a mama moment too. There is nothing that encourages my faith more. God can rescue you. You need to swat the enemy away and tell him to get on. Get on about his business. Get on. Get on out of him. We all know that saying. Some of you might find yourself in a bigger situation. You're in an all-out onslaught attack from hell itself. I've been there. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You, your family, your marriage, all of the good things that God has given you, he wants to take those away. Today is the day to send the devil packing. And this morning, I just want everyone to stand right where you're at. There's not enough pieces of burlap in my bag for everybody that came here today. But you know what? Some of you don't really need them. But some of you do. Some of you do. And this morning, I want everybody to just bow your heads and to close your eyes. Lord, I thank you for these people that are here today. I pray, God, right now that you would give them boldness and strength, Lord Jesus, to respond to your word and to your call on their life, Lord. Just keeping everybody's eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you know that you are, you may not be lost at sea, but if you don't make a course correction, you could be there. If you would just raise your hand and say, Crystal, I need God. I need God to save me and to rescue me today. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? If you know in this room, this is a different group of people, that your family, you personally, you feel that attack. There's just been things that have just been coming at you. And you are having a hard time mustering up the strength, but you know today that you're not taking any more. I want you to raise your hand and say, I'm that person. I'm done with it. I'm not taking any more. I'm going to fight with the very little that I have, but I'm fighting. If that's you this morning, I want you to come down. We want to pray with you. We want to agree with you. And don't be embarrassed. Don't be worried about what anybody's thinking. They already saw you pull in and park in an Assembly of God church. They know that something's happening in here. So let's make it happen. So if that's you, I want you to come on down to the front, and I'm going to be here to pray with you. And anybody else that that wants to come and pray, if that's what you do here in the church, I want you to do that. And if you're somebody that you're like, you know what, I need something. I need to fight the devil today. And I need the strength to do it with a friend. You're like, I'm coming forward, but I need help. I want you to feel free to come on down and do that. And if you're standing next to somebody that you know is in a fight, ask them, do you want me to come with you? I'll pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each person in this room. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that's living and working inside of us. We thank you for the good things that you have given us. And today, one more time, God, we ask for your hand to show up in our lives, Lord Jesus. God, we come against the enemy. We come against the strongholds. We come against all of the things that he's using to attack us and to hurt us. And God, we stand firm on your word, and we stand firm today claiming victory in Jesus' name. We want what you have for us, Holy Spirit. We want what you have for us, Lord. We want to see your victory come, God. We want to be able to share this testimony We thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're in your seat, that we have people here down at the front. I'm going to step down. I'm going to pray with them. But if you could just stretch your hands forward and pray for them. Remember today that Rispa's battle, it didn't save her sons, but it saved the entire nation. These people down here today, their miracle, their breakthrough could change your life. It could change the lives of the people in this community. Just continue to pray for them.